Hey, how's it going? Welcome to the James McDonald Podcast, where we say love to live to love. That's our focus, that's our passion, and we invite you to let God's Word have that impact in your life right now. Here's Pastor James.
We're in our series, Overcoming Betrayal and Rejection, and tonight is the end of the message, Accepting Rejection. And starting next week, we're going to go on to rejecting rejection. But tonight, it's just accepting the event that had happened. I know we prayed once, but Father, I pray in these few minutes that we have that you would cause your word to be meaningful to us and helpful to every person in this room in the journey that they're on. Make us stronger in the steps that are ahead that we must take. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Amen. So just a little bit of a really, really quick review. From last week, I've given you all a piece of paper. And what I want you to do between now and when we're done, pass a pen around, share a pen. If we got some pens to pass, let's do that. But I want you to write on the page the names of some people that rejected you. There's no reason for that pain to continue. I'm not talking about something that happened this week or something that happened this month. I'm talking about something that it's been longstanding. And you're going to get forward more if you accept it. Now, that doesn't mean that that person's finished in your life forever. It just means you're going to give it over to God completely. And until there's clear signals that it's time for a change, you're going to accept that. And by accepting the thing that happened to me, I've been rejected. That's what happened there. They rejected me, whether it was fair or unfair, whether it was caused or uncaused, whether it was just or unjust. All right. It happened. And because I've been rejected, I will get forward further when I cut. I don't have to be tied to that dock anymore. I can float out. I can sail the seven seas. I don't have to be tied to that anymore. It's not that I'm not taking responsibility for my part in it. It's not that I don't see that I could do things differently. It's just that I'm not going to be tied to that anymore. So I want to encourage you to write down the names of. Now, I want to just say this. Some of you have already made this decision about people, and you don't have to do it again. Just like if you've given your life to Christ and asked him to forgive your sins, you don't need to do it again. Now, you might need to renew your commitment to Christ, but he has said that he will never leave you nor forsake you. So I'll tell you, my testimony is I tried to get away from God for a lot of years, but he never let go of me. And so you don't have to get saved again. You don't have to accept rejection again. But if you've been really wrestling with something that happened with someone, I want you to consider that. Now, last time we talked about in accepting rejection, accept that I'm responsible for my thoughts. We are destroying arguments, 2 Corinthians 10, and every lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And just to get to the place where you're responsible, hey, what are you thinking about right now? Don't say. You're choosing those thoughts. You're choosing them. And whether you're thinking about your phone over there, Tucker, or whether you're thinking about what I'm saying, I'm not really looking to highlight either one. We love you so much. What I'm saying is I'm using an individual to point out the reality that every person right now is thinking about what they choose to think about. All right. Now, a good choice would be to try to tune into this for a few minutes. What is there, 168 hours in a week? And how many hours of the week are you listening to someone instruct you from God's word? How many hours a week? Less than one? Depends how long I go, right? Okay. All right. So, 168 hours in a week. I'm asking you for part of one. I'll probably be done in 20 or 25 minutes max, okay? So I'm asking you to think about what I'm thinking about. I'm honestly honored that you're here. So it isn't that I feel disrespected. It isn't that at all. It's that I prepared some things based on what the Lord's shown me that I'm prayerful and hopeful they'll be helpful to you. You know what I'm saying? And so I want to encourage you to use this as an experiment in I'm responsible for my thoughts. And last time we studied, I can take my thoughts captive. And when you take your thoughts captive, you're saying, like you just did, when I arrested your attention, it was actually really adorable. And what you did was you turned your thoughts from whatever you were thinking about. I did the same thing. From whatever you're thinking about to whatever I wanted you to think about. And you did that. You took your thoughts captive. Don't forget that feeling. That's a really great feeling. You can choose. So often we play like I'm a victim. I got on the wrong train and I can't get off. That's not true. All right. You are in charge of your thoughts. And I've had some good ones. I've had some bad ones. I've had some great ones today and this week. Someone say amen.
Amen.
By destroying arguments. And then it comes to this. Listen, by destroying lofty ideas. Okay. That's from 2 Corinthians 10. Remember this. The lofty idea is the ego thing that I'm just going to try to think of an example. So I don't like, this isn't true, I'm just making something up. I don't like people to get close to me. So I don't like people to get close to me because I don't feel good about myself. If I could have my way, I wouldn't be sitting in this room tonight, but people pressure me to come, so here I am. And I want to get along, but I really don't like being around people because I don't feel good about who I am and I don't like to feel close to people. I don't want to have that feeling. I have some of that myself right now when I have to be in a church context. I don't really like going to church right now. It's hurtful and it's hard. And so the lofty, that's the wrong thinking. That's the stronghold. The lofty idea is, I shouldn't have to feel something that's hard. I shouldn't have to be made to feel small. I shouldn't, and that's the me, you know, me. And everybody's got that king me inside them that wants to rule. And so when we're destroying strongholds, we have to destroy strongholds, it says, and every lofty, it's like an idea, and the lofty idea is the ego thought. So if you have a way of thinking that you're trying to protect, I can't be happy without my family close to me. Why? Because it makes me feel like a failure that I can't be close to my family. I mean, what kind of a guy can't be close to his family? A guy who made some mistakes. We want you to give yourself a break and let yourself off the hook. And lay down the lofty idea that you have to prove something or show something. We're all going to be in a freaking box in a few years. Quick. I've been saying that for 30 years. I just this spring saw my dad in a box. Okay, that's where we're all going quickly. So no point really in spending a lot of time on the ego thoughts that keep me from getting ahead in my life. Now, with that kind of as a little bit of a review from last week, I'll give you the main points now, the first two real quick, and then the last two we didn't quite get to. Here's the first one. Emotional healing is the greatest visible need of our day. Let's put up a Matthew 11, 28. Emotional healing is the greatest need of our day. Remember we talked about this verse? Remember this? Come on. Jesus stands up on a hillside and he says, come to me! Which is, can you imagine standing in a mall with people doing their Christmas shopping and saying, come to me. How confident are you in your ability to help people to give that invitation? Come to me. Who's supposed to come? All who labor, strive, are fighting. Anybody here been fighting anything? We're fighting ourselves. We're fighting our past. We're fighting our rejections and betrayals. All who labor and are heavily burdened. I mean, I might come, but I'm busy striving, trying to handle something myself, trying to do it my way. Otherwise, I would come. The other reason I might not come to you, Lord, is because I'm heavily burdened. It's a lot to carry right now. I'm just trying to eat my meals and stay on task. We understand that. That's why, since the night that I said here that, I hope you see that we're learning too. And since the night that we said here that Saturday night Bible study was going to be mandatory, then we spent like 5 or 6 days shaping what the word mandatory means till it didn't mean mandatory anymore, because we got a lot of feedback from the men here that we really care about. So we're trying to find a way to influence people to come and be together here as a centering of what this ministry is about. And we are not requiring it because that isn't really how the Lord works at the end of the day. So thank you for your grace in that. I got that wrong. I listened to the people here. Everybody say it's an invitation. It's an invitation. We want to roll out the invitation. We want the house managers to roll out the invitation, but we don't want somebody to feel judged because they're not ready to take apart their strongholds yet. We do offer excellent desserts, and tonight will be no exception. All who labor and are heavily laden, I will give you rest. Okay, back to the main first point. Emotional healing is the greatest need of our day. I believe that with all of my heart. Too much time this week spent probably for me on politics, which I don't care about very much. I'm not going to talk about it right now. You can vote for whoever you want to. But it's really grievesome to me to see both sides of the presidential election caricaturing the other people's arguments. That's just not sophisticated at all. To take what someone says and make it into something else, like let them just stand or fall on what they actually did say. And even taking someone's quotes from 9 years ago or 15 years ago and saying, that's who the person is. Anybody here? Hands up if you don't want to be defined by something you said more than 5 years ago, right? I mean, no kidding, right? Peter's a little too proud. He didn't put his hand up. But I know that we all understand that. So here's the second thing. Emotional healing is a primary focus of Jesus' ministry. And this is the third week in a row that I've said this, but it might be the last time. I told you the story of Jesus in Luke chapter 4. It was the first day of his ministry. He walked into the temple. They handed him a scroll to read from. It was the scroll of Isaiah. And he picked up the scroll of Isaiah. And I've been kind of teasing with you, what did he do? What did he look at? What did he pick up? Well, I said all of that last time. What he ended up reading from was Isaiah chapter 61. And by the way, do you know how credible this is? Do you know that the scroll of Isaiah was found in the late 40s after the Second World War, a shepherd boy near in the land of Israel in a place called the Qumran Caves threw a rock up into the mountains and they heard a pitcher break. And he climbed up into the mountains and he uncovered one of the oldest collections of manuscripts. They found the oldest copy of the manuscript Isaiah that had ever been in human hands since before the time of Christ. They pulled out this document. Now you go to any secular university, go to Michigan State, go to University of Illinois, and you're going to have people in your ancient literature classes telling you, oh, the Bible, you know, all that stuff about Jesus. They put all that in afterwards. He came and he lived and they edited it to make it look like he was prophesied, but he wasn't really prophesied. Oops. The Qumran Caves Isaiah is dated to within a couple hundred years of when it was actually penned on the piece of papyrus, all rolled up in that arid climate here in our climate and be gone. But in that arid climate, it was perfectly preserved in those clay jars. And so what I'm reading to you here is very confidently the words that were given 1,000 years before the time of Christ, okay? It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. That's why we love the name of our son's church in Palatine, Good News in the Neighborhood. He started a couple of years back. He has sent, why are you here, Jesus? This prophecy is about him and he's reading it. Can you imagine the irony of that? He's reading the prophecy about himself. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Anyone all in favor of that? Yeah. Liberty to the captives. Why is Jesus here? Why did he come? Because people are enslaved. Some of them know it. Some of them don't. Hands up if you can think of a time in your life when you were enslaved and you didn't know it, right? Enslaved and didn't know it. But isn't this a great day? Enslaved and know it. And this is why Jesus came. What an honest thing. To bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison doors to those who are bound. Those who are in chains, that could mean literally those who are in prison unjustly, but it could also mean those who are trapped or imprisoned in some thought pattern or pattern of behavior, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I just want to pray over every person in this room right now that the next 12 months would be a year of the Lord's favor in your life. That when it seemed like nothing would ever come together, and now all of a sudden things are starting to come together. And you made a couple of good decisions and God just seemed to bless that. And a couple more steps and things got better. And all of a sudden that elusive momentum in the right direction that you'd waited on for so long was beginning to happen. To grant to those who mourn or who are grieved, it means in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes. The old translation says beauty for ashes. Do you think that God could do that in your life? Give you beauty for ashes? How could you not love a God like that? Who would take all the stuff that you've burnt to the ground, pick up the ashes, and give it back to you as something beautiful. The oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness. There's some beautiful oak trees on this property. And the thing about big oak trees is they've been there for a long time and they're going to be here for a good while yet, right? You don't see a lot of oak trees moving around, right? Nobody ever pulled up and said, I was over there last week. No, it wasn't. And that picture is of Psalm chapter 1 says that we would be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. This is the kind of stability you want, where you're like an oak tree for your friends and for your family and for your future. I'm solid. I don't move. People can count on me. I love that picture, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Now that's a difficult sentence to keep track of. And so I'm just going to say here, this is what Jesus came to do, all those things so that you might be called the planting of the Lord for his glory. So that's the first big thing. I'm not here for myself. I'm not here to show how awesome I am. In fact, I'm pretty far down the road of I'm not awesome. Anybody with me on that? I'm not awesome. I'm really not. Not on a world stage. I might not even be the most awesome guy on my street. Okay? So I don't need to go around trying to be about people seeing how great I am. My life is about people seeing how great the Lord is. And to think that God would plant my life like an oak tree so that my life could be about other people. One of the great things that I see going on in our houses in the last 60 days is I see the men really stepping up for the other men. I see it in you, Dave. Thank you for that. Your strength, your organizational ability, your smarts. You're gifted. You have some real gift. I saw something you worked on this week. I was like, wow, dude's got a lot going on. But listen, you've known that for a long time. You have abilities, but listen, for the Lord. I'm doing this for the Lord, okay? Eddie, same thing. I've heard you say great things about the Lord. You're unpolished like me. I like that a lot. But I see your heart big time. And Johnny, I'd say the same thing about him and many other people. I'm not going to start running through the list of wonderful people that are in this room, but there's a lot of them, okay? In fact, in the grace of God, Sean, I even thought of you. So you knew that something was coming. He knew it. He knew something was coming. I love to tease that guy. He's fantastic. You're surrounded by some wonderful people. And so let's keep that in mind. That's who we want to be. An immovable oak tree here for God's purposes, not my own. Emotional healing is the greatest need of our day. Emotional healing is a primary focus of Jesus' ministry. If he didn't bind up the brokenhearted, if he didn't set the captives free, they're not going to be oaks of righteousness for his glory. So if he had to set some things straight in a man's life before he can use a man the way he wants to use him. Is that right?
Right.
Isn't that kind of your story, Chappie?
Yes, sir.
He had to set some things right before he could start to use you?
Yes, sir.
All right. So I want to just review this little part quickly and then the final two thoughts. Last time we talked about how to do anything hard, and I gave you three words. Does anybody remember the three words that are involved in doing something hard? They all start with D.
Discipline.
What's the next word?
Desire.
Thank you for that. Good job.
Delight.
Desire. And then?
Delight.
Okay. So now this is true for everything. You guys are soccer players, right? You want to get better? Okay. So one of these, you got to get better at soccer. You got to be able to run faster. Okay. And we sent our kids for athletic training, all the stuff we never got when we were young. You can actually run faster. You can jump higher. You can react more quickly, but it's a lot of work. And you're like, but I want a gold medal. I want a trophy. Do you? Do you really? Because only in the cheesy little leagues do you show up and get a trophy.
Right.
Anything that's worth accomplishing. A lot of us are watching the Olympics right now. You don't get the delight that Simone Biles has been getting for the last 10 days, but that there was first this. A lot of discipline, just a lot of doing the right thing for a long time, not really sure what's going to come of it, just doing the right thing, just doing the right thing, just doing the right thing. When she started working and training, and when some of these swimmers and runners started working and training, they didn't know they were going to the Olympics. They didn't even know if they could win state. Remember those days? They didn't know if they could win high school. They didn't know if they could do anything. But this has to come. And if you have to see it, listen, we had a good talk, didn't we, Jeff? If you have to see it now, you're going to make some bad decisions. You have to have an extended time of doing the right thing for yourself and for others. And Chris, just stand up for 1 second. I know it's hard to get out of that chair, but come on, stand up. This guy, I'm not lying, was 30 pounds less muscle when I met him. True or false? About 30 pounds, 25 pounds? 20 pounds. Well, that's good. That's good. Probably he's really only 15, but no, I'm just kidding. He looks fantastic, doesn't he? Come on, let's give him a... But if I've come in here 5 times, I've come in here 50 times, and he was in that less than awesome weight room, working on the weights, working on the weights, working on the weights. And what you find is it's really hard to do, but then you get that good feeling of making progress and feeling some of what's happening from your discipline. I'm not going to take that drink. I'm not going to make that phone call. I'm not going to be with those people. And all of a sudden, you're going to get some desire. And one of the greatest things that's happening in our homes is we see the guys that come in. We see the look on their faces. And they've been through some crap to get here. But over time, as they start to discipline themselves, you start to see the smile comes out. And there's just greater joy. And if they can stick with that, see, a lot of people quit here. That's great. I came as far as I want to. I'm done. And they go back to the problems that required this. But if you can keep being disciplined and get to the place where you want to do it, and then keep doing that without turning to your selfishness, you're going to get to the place where it becomes your delight. It is the happiest thing about your life. And that's the thing that was true about Bobby. That was the thing that is true about Chuck. That the thing that they were the happiest about in their whole life was their sobriety. It was something they felt really good about. It was something they were really proud about. And so we're believing the very same for you. Discipline, desire, delight. Now, what are the 5 hardest attachments to break? If you're going to break something off, what are the 5 hardest things to break? Brainstorming, I'm listening. Strongholds. Strongholds, for sure strongholds, but a specific kind or category. All right, we surveyed 5 people. The top 5 answers are on the board to this question. Name a pattern that's hard. Remember Family Feud? Name a pattern that's hard to break. Ding, 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 ding. Number 5, just as Mike just said, break a stronghold about money or some other past pain. But with a lot of people, we haven't never even gotten close to this subject, but there's a lot of strongholds about money. A lot of people, just money just goes through your hands, just don't know how to handle it, don't know how to hang on to it, don't know how to accumulate it. Number 4 answer, break a lofty idea about myself. We've already talked about that. Number 3, break a pattern of self-sabotage. You got that great job. I'm going to have money for a while. You feel good. You get several paychecks in. All of a sudden, the boss starts to bug you. And you let that get under your skin. And within a few days, you're going to get into some argument and you're going to blow that job up. Because every time something good starts happening in your life, you self-sabotage. And that is a hard pattern to break. I had to come to see that the relational conflict that is the only truth behind my leaving the ministry that we were in, the relational conflict behind the scenes that people wanted to punish me for, part of what was going on was I had, in my hurt and unresolved hurt, I had developed a pattern like that of self-sabotage where I just felt like I couldn't take any more of this treatment and so on. And so I started bashing things that should have been left alone. I started pressing for relief from things that I really couldn't control or demand that they stop. And then people are like, well, we don't have this, and then escalate. You know how it happens. So I'm sharing that to give you permission to really look at your life and see and write down a name or two about a relationship that you self-sabotage that. That's hard to break that, but you can do it. A break off a toxic relationship. Some of you should write down the name of a person that rejected you that you really don't need to ever talk to again. There's really no reason. You just don't need to. You can let that go. If you see them, great. You can treat them with forgiveness. And then here's the last one. Number one answer, patterns that are difficult to break, substance addiction. I wouldn't put that number one before I got to know all of you, but I have such a high regard now for the mental, emotional, physical battle that is going on. And I want you to know you have my highest esteem and respect for the work that you're doing. It's not easy. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it, right? So good for you. Now here are the last two points and we'll be done. At the base of most emotional pain is the issue of rejection. That's why Jesus says, let's put up Matthew 11:28 again. At the base of most emotional pain is the issue of rejection. So we're trying, why are we doing this whole series? Because we know that men who are struggling with addiction, that there's a hurt that's behind it. It isn't because I like beer more than I like Diet Coke. It isn't because I figured out that whiskey takes better than Kool-Aid. It's not really about that. It's about the chemical thing that happens, the pain that gets numbed, the forgetfulness and the freedom. We all understand that. So Jesus wants to take our heavy burdens and give us rest. And let's just acknowledge that if we're going to live free from addiction, we're going to have to continue to look at and ultimately deal with this issue. At the base of most emotional pain is the issue of rejection. And finally, pray to accept rejection now, right now, to come to a place. I'm going to have you write all your whatever names you want to write on a piece of paper. If you need a pen, you can write it down. If you're not ready to do that yet, respect. But what we're going to do is I'm going to read a verse of scripture and explain it. Then we're going to, and I would encourage anyone who's listening to this teaching to do the same thing. We're going to read a verse of scripture. I'm going to explain it. Then we're going to have a moment of silence to finish writing down whatever names we want. And I'm going to accept the fact that I was rejected. I'm just going to, it happened. I can't fix it. I can't change it. Maybe someday God would change it. But every time I try to change it, I'm just beating it into a bigger pulp. So I'm going to leave it alone. And believe me when I tell you, I'm in this with you. And I'm laying down some pretty heavy things, okay? Then we're going to go outside, and we're going to put them all in the fire outside there. We're going to burn them, and then we're going to stand around with our arms on each other's shoulders, all of us who are here, and we're going to have a word of prayer together. And then we're going to hang out and have fun, because there is a huge $100 prize on the table tonight. Yes. For the person who wins the game that I've not yet fully described, okay? So pray to accept rejection right now. Matthew 23:37. It's one of the most touching things in the whole scripture. All of Matthew 23 is Jesus talking about the Pharisees. This phrase is in it over and over. Woe to you, blind guides. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Woe to you, teachers of the law. The word woe means that the calamity has fallen or is about to fall. And when Jesus Christ the Lord looks at a group of religious hypocrites and says, woe to you, it's serious business. It's like that hypocrisy's got to go. But here's the tenderness of it at the end. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. In other words, God's always, and he's still doing it today, God sends messengers, and what do the people do? First they enjoy the messenger, then they destroy the messenger. When I graduated from Bible college in 1984, I had a list of 26 men who stood with me on the graduation platform. And after 20 years, about half of them were left. After 30 years, about six of them were left. And I never thought for a moment that I wouldn't still be in that ministry when I got to 40 years. People are so hard on their leaders, and leaders are flawed. And Jesus sees all of it. And he says so tenderheartedly, he speaks to the city, but he's talking to the people. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I would have gathered you like a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. The translation there is a word that actually could be translated but, and I think that's a little better. But you were not willing. Why didn't you gather me, Jesus? Why didn't you minister to me? Because you were not willing. We control our thoughts. We can accept the Lord and allow him to work, or we can reject him. Jesus knew what these were going to decide, because he said to them, "See, your house is left to you desolate." It's a very, very serious warning. That's why I don't want to go that route. And I want to invite you to pray with me to accept rejection right now. So take a minute quietly, just a quiet minute, to write on your sheets of paper anything that you want to write, any names that you want to write. Father, I pray as we make these decisions that this wouldn't just be an empty moment. Some of these people have been living rent-free in our minds, and we would really like to lay that down. We would really like to leave that behind. And so as best we know how, we're going to go outside, and we'll pray again and ask for your help to accept these rejections. I've been rejected. It happened. It happened. I can spend the rest of my life fighting it. I can spend the rest of my life arguing about how unfair it is, or I can lay it down and see what you have for me next, Lord. So that would be our desire, to just accept that it happened and let it go. Help us to these ends in meaningful ways in the next couple of minutes, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
So I hope that you've been really encouraged today through this clear teaching from God's Word. I just want to thank you from the whole team for listening to the James McDonald Podcast, where the learning is for loving, loving God, and for loving others more and more until we see Him face to face. Thank you for standing with us. Your prayerful support is our lifeline to continue this gospel partnership, and it makes podcasts like these possible. If you're not part of a vibrant, life-giving gospel church, check out this new alternative. It's called the Home Church Network. You can get it at homechurchnetwork.global. All the ministry information, Bible teaching, and resources are there, and also at jamesmcdonaldministries.org. Hey, thank you again for listening.